From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Barm, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio this morning, talking a little bit about Alabama's 66-3 win over Ole Miss on Saturday night from Bryant-Denny Stadium. A lot of content up at rebelgrove.com this morning. Neil's 10 weekend thoughts. I took three different statistical looks at Ole Miss this season, that up on the front of the site as well as all of our post-game coverage, Neil's column, instant analysis podcast, video of Matt Luke, Shea Patterson, the coordinators, and more up. So that's what's going on this morning at rebelgrove.com. Russell was in Olive Branch on Friday night. There is an on-location report from Olive Branch and Lewisburg, I believe. And
yes.
So anyway, check out the site, rebelgrove.com. We'll have a full week of podcasts for you. Ole Miss and Auburn this weekend from the Plains, 11 a.m. from Jordan-Hare Stadium. So look at lines today. We'll do our normal Monday thing. We'll have guests as the week moves on. The Oxford Exxon Podcast, as always, talking about Highway 6 West, where you see the Oxford Crystal and the Oxford Exxon. You'll get daiquiris, you'll get lunch specials, and more there. The lunch special is $4.99, ribs at night. They'll pack them up. They'll have them ready to go. If you call ahead at Oxford Crystal, you get the hand-spun shakes. You can also shake up your 5 for $5 for $1, chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, and Oreo there. And remember, when you go to the Oxford Exxon, use the Plenty card. Every time you use it inside or at the pump at any Craddock Oil location, you're automatically entered into the giveaway for the LSU game. It's tickets, it's VIP access, it is apparel, and more there with Craddock Oil and the Plenty card, PLENTI.com. Again, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, 662-257-1900, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Tell Corey Clark what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's really that simple. It's right to the bottom line. No haggling. It's just get a great deal. You get a great vehicle. Superb service. You get your quote. You can shop it around if you'd like, or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many listeners of our podcast, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. Make it even better. Right before you finalize everything, tell Corey you heard about it here. You heard about the dealership here on the podcast. You can mention any of our podcast, and it's $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford in Amory.
So we taped our podcast, I guess 11 o'clock, something like that, maybe a little after, on a Saturday night. I rewatched a little yesterday. Reiterate a lot of the same points for a second before we move on. They were outmanned at every position, Matt Luke said after the game. They were completely dominated in all phases, offense, defense, and the kicking game. You know, offensively, they have a couple holes. Really credit for Sean Rawlings when trying to play Saturday, by the way. I went back and watched some of that. See how taped up that leg and that ankle was? I mean, good grief. So credit to that kid for giving it a shot on Saturday night.
No one's ever going to question the effort or the passion of Sean Rawlings.
No.
Period.
So credit to him. They all tried to give it a go. Offensively, they were overwhelmed schematically. I thought from what little I know and what trying to understand what they are trying to run. Then when I talked about this right before we hit the button on the podcast, I thought Weston McGriff, ironically, had a pretty good plan. Just to have the players to execute it. I mean, they got up in the gaps. They did certain things. A lot of players were either in position or one step away from making plays all night long. But if you can't get to the spot quick enough, it really doesn't matter what scheme or what plan you have in place.
I thought McGriff had a great plan.
Yeah, I thought he was good.
I'll go back and say what I said last year. Dave Womack was a really good defensive coordinator the early part of his tenure at Ole Miss. And then suddenly he wasn't. I mean, perhaps Dave developed really bad dementia and it came on like bang. I don't think that's the case. I haven't heard that. And when I conversed with Dave or when I've conversed with his son, Kane, I've never heard that. So I have to believe it was about players because I think it's about players. They're not talented enough on defense. They're not fast enough. They don't have impact players Really good defenses typically have an impact player on all three levels, at least one. And I hate doing this with college kids, but it's part of this team. Who's the impact player up front? Marquise Haynes, he hasn't had a lot of impact this year. There's no impact linebacker. Gates has been okay.
He's a solid SEC linebacker.
And then in the secondary, they just haven't had the impact guy.
There's no Cinquez.
Mike Hilton. Mike Hilton's an NFL player. Cinquez would be an NFL player. Injuries have prevented that to this point. Yeah. Robert Kimdichie is an NFL player. You can argue that he's not whatever. Robert Kimdichie athletically was an elite NFL player, as evidenced by the fact that he went in the first round of the NFL draft. Yeah. Despite having jumped out of a hotel window and stuff, he still went in the first round of the NFL draft.
He was kind of talented, right?
For those who want to argue whether he was talented or not, that's the end of said argument.
That's where they are right now. So
let's talk about this.
Okay.
You had a good point a minute ago. Is this debate already about what kind of coach should Ole Miss hire? There are people that want Frank Wilson here lately because Frank Wilson, in my opinion, they want Frank Wilson for a couple of reasons. One, when he was here on the Ed Orgeron staff, he was considered to be an elite recruiter, especially of Louisiana kids.
Yes.
Had some success. I don't think that's particularly a great reason to make that hire, but I understand that sentiment. People love familiarity. You made the point, and I'm going to set it up for you, because I think you're right. You said, why don't they just hire the best coach? And you mean a guy who understands football, can teach football, can develop it, and that kind of thing, because we're in a league where the coaching's not very good.
Yeah, no, I mean coach. I mean schematic, X and O's, fundamental technique coach who knows enough people to put a staff together of recruiters, but also a staff together that can coach. I mean, you look at this right now, and with Frank, and with Pruitt to a standpoint too, I think what it is it's a lot of what you're talking about out of the group that is being presented to them. They're getting, you know, these guys obviously have to have a lot of success to get to a point where they are head coach material. And then after that, it's, well, I know this guy, I know this guy, I know this guy. It's human nature. It is what it is. Mike McIntyre fits that bill too. He's just got a lot more, you know, success as an actual head coach instead of one of the up-and-coming guys. I mean, Frank Wilson right now, I think Frank is a really good coach. I think Frank's still learning, though, to a point. He inherited a system from Larry Coker that was already in place for the most part. He had a foundation that he's built upon, he's increased, credit to him, great job, but it wasn't a complete and utter from the ground floor rebuild that Frank had to do there at UT San Antonio. You know, Pruitt is the next in the line of the Saban disciples. We've talked about that. He's been at Florida State, he's been at Georgia, he's been at Alabama. He's been in a lot of places where he hasn't been able to cultivate his own personality because he's just a cog in this machine. They're not allowed to have personalities in these spots and with these systems and programs. I mean, Kirby was at Alabama so long and was a face for so long that he had a little more ability to do that from a personality standpoint. But even then, a lot of growing pains going on at Georgia as good as they're playing on the field. I mean, he's been kind of a train wreck in some other spots. So
he has. He's been a really good recruiter.
He has.
He's hired a staff of really good recruiters.
This is subjective. There's no way to prove this right or wrong. But you can, at least the fact that you can make the argument is interesting to me, that the SEC, from a coach standpoint, has the worst coaches out of all Power 5 conferences right now. The Big Ten certainly has a lot of highlights with Harbaugh and Meyer and the guys in that league. I mean, you know,
Ferentz,
I mean,
the guy at Penn State.
Stable guys, James Franklin.
Yeah.
Stable guys. You know, out west, you've got some good coaches. The Big 12 is kind of a train wreck in general, but still there's some dudes there. Mike Gundy, Gary Patterson, different people.
I think Tom Herman's a good coach.
Yeah.
Gary Patterson might be the best coach in the country.
Right now, the SEC, whether it's becoming obsessed with recruiting, whether it's just building upon these disciples and these different systems and kind of building upon each other every time one kind of works for a minute. It's a little bit of a splashy thing. I don't know what the reason is, but if Ole Miss gets just a good overall coach, it's going to jump ahead of the rebuilding process versus getting a guy that, hey, he's got a lot of ties somewhere and, you know, kind of almost like the basketball AAU version for football instead of just going and, hey, this is the program manager that's done it. This is the guy that's been doing it somewhere else. He can do it here. He's a good fit in a way, and he's a dang good coach. That's where this is.
Here's the good news if you're an Ole Miss fan. Right now your program's really bad. This period, it's bad. Look around the league. How many good programs are there in the league right now? I would argue four, and two of those are borderline shaky. Right now, Alabama's the best, one of the two best programs in the country.
Program stability is what we're talking about?
Just overall program. When you look at a program and give it a grade.
Okay.
Just gut feeling, not over-dissecting. Okay. Alabama's an A-plus program under any measure. Georgia today is an A program. It's clearly on the rise.
Vanderbilt is relatively solid and is a good program right
but
now.
But I'm talking about the programs that when you look at it and you go, they're solid. Florida is pretty solid. As much as the fans, whatever, you made a good point last week where you said, you know, he plays a lot of close games, but he wins them. All that really matters is you win, and he's winning. McElwain's got a good program. They recruited a decent level. And then as much as people at Auburn rip on him for not beating Georgia and Alabama, it appears that Gus Malzahn's putting another good team on the field. And Auburn's a solid program.
They are.
After that, literally after that, you can pick apart every other program in the league. That's 10. Tennessee's a train wreck. LSU's a train wreck. Texas A&M's winning right now, but the people want to fire the head coach.
Complete uncertainty at Arkansas.
Total uncertainty. Missouri's a disaster.
Kentucky is what it is.
Mississippi State's been a solid program, but they just played back-to-back games against good teams and got smoked.
Dan Mullen has the worst winning percentage against AP top 25 teams in the poll's history.
So they're not good. And then there's questions about whether he's going to stay. So they're not stable either. I don't even know who's left. Literally yesterday, I was sitting here doing the SEC rankings, and I was looking at – I kept going –
forgetting teams. And
I'm forgetting teams. The league is so nondescript that you forget who people are. Kentucky's not good.
Real quick, that stat, by the way. Worst career record in ranked matchups. It's if both teams are ranked, Mullen's 2-15.
Yeah. They don't win those games. They beat Auburn at home back in 14. And they beat somebody. They don't win games.
A&M might have been ranked the next week. I don't know. Maybe it might have been Ole Miss one time.
Maybe been. I don't know. They don't win games. And these last 2 weeks, a lot of people, self-included, put a lot of stock into their win over LSU. I did. Sue me. I don't care. LSU's bad. They whipped a bad team.
LSU's really bad.
Really bad. And State whipped them. And then State turned around and played two good teams in back-to-back weeks and got mauled.
Might still go 8-4 just because of the league.
Yeah, but it won't be because they're a good team.
No.
There are four good teams in the SEC. Frankly, there's two good teams. And then there's two teams that are above average, and then there's a collection of whatever. My opinion. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. Maybe A&M will pull off an upset this weekend.
A&M's a little better than we're giving them credit for. We put so much into that UCLA game and then their hangover the next week. They're okay.
Yes.
They're good. I mean, they're closer to good than bad. They're okay.
I'll say this. If A&M fires Kevin Sumlin and I'm Ole Miss, I'm hiring Kevin Sumlin. Not popular, I realize that. I'd hire an established head coach who knows how to recruit this part of the country. I don't know whether they're firing him or not. I heard two different things yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
Who does get fired?
I tell you this. I talked to someone who would know, who said Butch Jones has to get to 6 or 7, but that Tennessee, really, the people that make those decisions really don't want to make a change right now.
They hate the games but like the program. And there's a lot of money tied
just
up in
so
it.
So much. People talk about, well, you just give somebody whatever. Okay. It's real money. Like Kevin Sumlin's deal. When you fire Kevin Sumlin, you owe him roughly $10 million, and you have about 60 days to get it to him. I mean,
it's like real, a bad movie, isn't it?
Real money. Real money. Not Monopoly money. Real money.
That's funny.
So,
Butch is owed 9-ish.
Ed's owed
12.
Ed's owed 8.4 at the end of the year.
Oh, is it really?
Yes.
Okay. At the end of the year.
8.4. And Oliva, who would have to go with him, is owed 2.
Ooh.
So it's a $10.5 million buyout.
Before you pay the next dude.
Well, it's before you pay off the assistants. It's before you hire a new staff. It's before you pay the buyout on hot coach Z.
Like Brom, if you put, you know, he's owed 4.9, I think, at the end of the year if he leaves. I mean, he owes. Yeah.
So people go, well, you've got it. Okay, well, who's got it? You're asking people who, for the most part, live in Louisiana.
I mean, you're not pulling it out of the budget.
Well, no. You raise it from boosters.
Yeah.
And those people go, I just gave you, and I just.
We just got rid of Les.
And I'm worried about the economy, and I'm worried about this, and I'm worried about this.
Who are you hiring? I don't trust you anyway.
These are typically people who have other things going in their lives besides college football programs to follow. So are they cutting you a $3 million check out of their liquidity? That's a lot of money just to hand somebody. Probably people in their lives going, no, wait a minute, you're cutting a check for what to who? You could give that to grandson Johnny or granddaughter Jenny. You could set up one hell of a trust fund. You're giving that to a football coach? Legitimate point.
Well, they're probably going to ask you to give it to another football coach here in 3 or 4 years.
You just had an opportunity and you bungled it.
Wouldn't want to be the dude that had to call around and try to figure that one out.
No. That person has a bad day. That person would rather be a telemarketer right now.
Just get hung up on a lot that way.
I mean, just get dog cussed. Yeah, a telemarketer, at least people just hang up now.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
The guy that calls saying, hey, we're trying to raise money to pay off Coach Orgeron and Mr. Oliva. I'm guessing the F word gets dropped pretty quick.
We really thank you for your support of the program. You're an integral part of what we do every day here in Louisiana State University. Just curious if you would be interested in a small one-time donation of $210,000 to help.
Here's what's interesting, though. Today's October the 2nd. So we'll start finding out in the next – there's still two months left in this season. 8 weeks. Yeah. Crowds. Not announced crowds. Bodies in seats.
Well, 'cause that's where it starts becoming economically feasible because you're losing more money than that anyway.
Yeah. I mean, how many people go, you know, when Tennessee plays a home game in November, how many people are there? What's the real crowd? As they say, butts in seats. How many butts are in seats?
Yeah, how much are we not making on concessions this week? $1 million?
Yeah.
$800,000? I don't know how that works.
Because the guy who doesn't show, well, he's not buying a Coke.
There's not a lot of money in that Coke. It's pretty much all profit. It's a little syrup and a little water.
Yeah. For $7? Yeah, you're making some profit there.
It costs about 4 cents.
And you're losing energy. When you lose energy, is it... What's the value on that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Those are decisions that people are going to have to make, and it's around the league. So you ask who gets fired? You could tell me that nobody gets fired right now, and I'd believe it. Does Missouri fire Barry Odom?
They don't want to.
So here's the question when you fire these people. You and I talk about this all the time. So let's pick a school that you want to use. Let's use Butch Jones. Mm-hmm. Is that okay?
Why not?
The moment you fire Butch Jones, it's not his fault anymore. You can blame him.
And you will for a year.
And you will, but he's not going to be there. At some point, it's somebody else's fault. There's a lot of Matt Luke blaming in Oxford right now, and then people turn around and go, well, it's Hugh Freeze's fault. At some point, it's the new guy. It's his program. So if you fire Butch Jones and you're Tennessee, who do you hire?
And now, look, this isn't Matt's program.
No, this isn't. If you're pinning this on Matt, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Now, if you're saying Matt's not the answer,
different conversation.
That's a different conversation. And you're probably right. But that's not Matt's fault. Matt's never been a head coach. Matt's been put into a really impossible situation, frankly.
Yeah.
If you're Tennessee and you fire Butch Jones, who are you hiring? Who's the guy that comes in that you go, this guy is the answer?
I hire Bobby Petrino.
Well, he's good.
So I hire. I'd rather have Petrino than Kelly.
If you're Ole Miss, do you hire Bobby Petrino?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
He's done some stupid stuff, but it hadn't been NCAA related.
See, I'm with you here.
Why not?
I'm totally with you here. If you're going to do it, go
he
do it.
He took Arkansas to the Sugar Bowl or whatever it was they played in that night. Might have been the Sugar Bowl, but either way, a big-ass bowl
It was
game.
The Sugar Bowl.
Yeah. They had Alabama and LSU in their division that year that were both really, really freaking good. But I watched it. Went to a Sugar Bowl.
And it was the Sugar Bowl before the Sugar Bowl was a playoff game.
They were a top-5 team in the nation at a place that's harder to win at than Ole Miss.
Recruiting elite speed guys at a place where it's hard to recruit elite
freaking
speed
impossible.
Guys. Yeah. Brett Bielema won at Wisconsin. They went to the Rose Bowl at Wisconsin, maybe twice.
Maybe three times.
You might
went once because some dudes were on probation, but either way.
You might be right. Might have been three times.
Maybe two or three.
He can't do it. Did he suddenly become a crappy coach? I mean, you tell me, has Brett Bielema developed dementia in his 40s? I mean, what is the deal? It's a hard job.
He can't recruit the players necessary to run his system, and now he has a schizophrenic system and can't figure out what he wants to do anymore.
Because he's hit the panic button.
And there's multiple reasons for why he can't recruit. That's where this thing is.
But you don't think it's mental illness?
No, I think he's the same coach that he was in Madison.
Well, he won in Madison.
Yeah. He wasn't in Northwest Arkansas.
I'm not trying to be an ass here. I'm pointing out that if you're Tennessee and you make a change, you're Missouri and you make a change, man, you got to have somebody lined up. I mean, if you're Ole Miss, you make a change because it screams change. But you got to get this one right if you're Ole Miss, because this program is, before the sanctions hit, is really bad right now.
He coached at Wisconsin.
5 years, 4 years. He was there for a while. I thought. Hell, I don't know.
He was there 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 7, and he went to the Rose Bowl 3 years in a row to close his tenure.
Well, that's pretty good.
The last year was the one I was referencing. He finished third in his division, but there was other issues going on in the Big Ten, and he still went to the Rose Bowl.
What were the records at Wisconsin?
12-1, 9-4, 7-6, 10-3, 11-2, 11-3, 8-5.
It's pretty solid.
Four double-digit win seasons, a 12-1, two 11-win seasons, and a 10.
I mean, if you offered that to Arkansas right now, they'd jump.
Arkansas, 3-7-8-7-2. Currently 2-2, obviously. But
yeah.
League records, 0-2-5-3-0. Not the same thing. Yeah, Bobby Petrino, absolutely. Not another thought in my head. If you're Tennessee, if you're Ole Miss, whoever, again, Petrino, this part of the country especially, I think that matters. Chip Kelly, it's trendy, it's fun. Nah, give me Petrino if I got to pick one or the other. Podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. 30 years old this year, one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Also, leader in condo financing in Oxford. So ask Jason about the float-down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates can't help where you close, you get the lower rate. 662-234-2704. Or JLO, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. He's the sponsor of my 10 Weekend Thoughts. As Chase mentioned, those are up on rebelgrove.com. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX legacy realty agent. He has been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. podcast also brought to you by Michael Oswalt. Michael has the biggest land inventory in Mississippi. He works with Tom Smith Land and Homes in Mississippi, obviously. Recreational timberland tracts. No one knows it better. It's gotland.com. If you're a buyer, there's a lot of reasons to list with Michael Oswalt and Tom Smith. If you're thinking about selling, if you're on the fence, if it's in your future, he'll come to your home, tell you what he does, market your property, and get it sold for you. Tom Smith Land and Homes in the midst of its fourth record-breaking year. The market's hot. If you're on the fence or ready to sell, call Michael. He's ready to work for you. He will put his money where his mouth is, market your property. Whether it's drone videos or whatever it takes, Michael will put his money where his mouth is to get your property sold. 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with the live person. No 10 buttons to push, no 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay, mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
So we're going to look at lines here in a bit. Before we do that, a couple notes from the story I put up last night regarding stats and where Ole Miss is currently. The one that kind of gained the most attention yesterday, Ole Miss has the longest touchdown drought in the nation as of right now. They scored on that long play to DK Metcalf with 13:02 left in the second quarter against Cal. That is their last touchdown. That was 103 game minutes ago. Again, that leads the nation. Tennessee is second at 90 minutes-ish. They scored with 25 seconds left in the first half against Massachusetts. Didn't score in the second half, and then obviously got shut out by Georgia this past weekend. So Ole Miss, when they went up 16 to whatever it was against Cal, they've not had a touchdown since then. The active streak, the longest streak this season, is 9 quarters by Kent State. So something that Ole Miss does not want to entertain as they head to Auburn this weekend. But anyway, currently dead last in the country in most recent touchdown. A lot of that has to do with third down. We've talked about it all year long. Ole Miss so big play dependent that they haven't been able to drive the ball. That goes into rushing yards, which I'll talk about in a second. But on third down, Ole Miss just – it's not even that they don't pick up yards on third down. It's that they don't get in advantageous situations on third down. This is, to me, maybe of everything I found yesterday, the most key stat. Ole Miss is actually 12th nationally in converting third and shorts. Third and shorts being 3 or 4 yards and fewer, one or the other. I'm not sure which one. I guess 3. So when Ole Miss gets in 3rd and 3, 3rd and 2, 3rd and 1, they're 12th nationally in converting that. The problem? They've only had a couple of those this season. They do not get ahead of schedule and stay on schedule as an offense. And when it comes to converting 3rd and medium and 3rd and long, they're 113th and 115th in the nation out of 130 teams. So they just can't sustain drives. They're not doing anything because of their activity on 1st and 2nd down. All their big plays have happened on 1st down. That's why some stats are skewed in that direction. But as far as 3rd down, they cannot get into the short yardage situations, and that's where they are.
Third and long is hard on anyone.
It is.
You watch NFL. I watched some NFL yesterday on a treadmill. It's funny. The Cowboys did a lot better on 3rd and 2 than they did on 3rd and 9.
Ole Miss has had 14 occasions of 3rd and 3 or fewer this season. That's it. 14 occasions. All their 3rd downs are, whoa.
It's just hard, and it's hard to pull those.
On the other side, Ole Miss is giving up over 7 yards a carry on 3rd down to opponents.
Whew.
When opponents run the ball, they're picking up more than 7 yards a carry on 3rd down. So just a thought there. Ole Miss now also, they are averaging 74.3 yards per game rushing. That is dead last in FBS, 130 out of 130 teams. They have two rushing touchdowns this season. That's more than all, only four FBS teams that have one touchdown on the ground. They average 2.9 yards per rush. That's 124th nationally. Then, by contrast, Ole Miss's defense gives up 5.3 yards per rush, which is 118th nationally. The third down team's worse than Ole Miss. Running the ball, Idaho and Arizona State, if you want an opinion there.
Arizona State, huh?
Yeah. Ole Miss gives up 5 yards or more on 40% of opponent rushes. That's 102nd nationally. And they've given up 30 opponent rushes for at least 10 yards. That's 110 nationally. They don't run the ball, they don't stop the run, and they don't stay on schedule on first and second down, and that's that those are the reasons for the other stats that we mentioned to start the segment.
It feels like Groundhog Day sometimes. We talk about it so much. If you can't run and you can't stop the run, your margin for error gets so slim. You can still do it, but it's really hard. They're not good enough against the run. Doesn't really allow you to be creative on defense. It's hard to dial up much creativity on third and two. You're sort of at the mercy of the offense. You're having to defend everything.
What do you make of the fact that they do convert third and shorts?
It's easier to convert third and shorts.
Even relative to the country, they're 12th nationally.
Well, they're able to throw the ball.
On third and short.
Yeah.
Big receivers, quick throws.
Yeah. The Shea Patterson debate, to me, is fascinating. Suddenly people want to make Shea terrible. Shea's not a bad quarterback. Shea's a good quarterback. He's a young quarterback. He's been scouted. He's really the equivalent of the baseball player who comes in, the rookie, and has the hot start. And then the league scouts him, and they adjust, and he has to adjust to that adjustment. We're in that phase right now. He came in, he had the hot start, tore it up, raking doubles and triples all over, gaps all over the parks. And now they've scouted him, and they're pitching him differently, and he's got to adjust.
He doesn't have a lot of help to do it.
No, he doesn't.
That's a lot of the problem here, is that he has so much on his shoulders to where he never gets the breather of possession for somebody else to carry the load a little bit. It's just constant. Ole Miss also is not staying on the field. They're running like 64 plays a game, which is way down the list in the country. And again, this is because you're not converting third downs. I mean, it's all back to the same thing. My point being, though, it's just a little of everything. It all piles on to each other. And, yeah, he needs help. Needs a lot of help. Doesn't get it.
Can't run the football with any degree of effectiveness.
Consistently, yeah.
I mean, Jordan Wilkins ended up getting how many yards?
112.
A lot of those came late.
110, 112.
But, you know, maybe they found something they can build on. For their sake, you hope so. Because they're about to play a defense that might be better than the one they just faced.
Especially up front.
Yeah, well, up front, it's good. They're going to have their hands full up front. And you get into third and long against these guys, and it's going to get ugly.
Looking at lines for the week, the first one in the SEC is in Nashville. It is the Georgia Bulldogs at the Vanderbilt Commodores. This line is 15.5, the way of Georgia.
I'm probably laying them. I'm starting to buy Georgia. They look good.
They're Alabama light right now, and it's not real light.
Not that light.
Mm-mm.
Some calories in that beer.
Yeah.
Maybe Tennessee sucks. Really sucks.
Well, Tennessee does suck.
But Georgia whipped them.
And State's not good, but they don't suck, and Georgia whipped them.
Yeah, State doesn't suck. They're not good. They're
average.
They're an average team.
Yeah.
Hodgepodgey.
Yeah. it was a terrible matchup for State, but anyway, Georgia still dominated the football game.
I don't think either – tell me whether you agree with this. I don't think either Mississippi State or Tennessee saw that coming with Georgia.
I think Tennessee did.
You think Tennessee thought we're going to get our ass whipped?
Yeah. They couldn't move the ball on Massachusetts the week before. Got stalemated at the line of scrimmage against the Minutemen. Then they watched that Georgia tape where they corralled Fitzgerald all night long. Harris Williams didn't do anything. Yeah. They had to go, oh, this isn't good.
How many games Tennessee win?
I don't have their schedule in front of them. A couple. I really wish they'd have lost to Georgia Tech just to ramp it up a little more. That's a little bit of a salve for Jones right now.
I'll say this. If you're an Ole Miss fan out there, a lot of you listening are, you don't need Tennessee to keep losing. You need Tennessee to start winning. You need A&M to win so much that this becomes cloudy.
You need to be the biggest SEC fish looking for a coach here in a couple months.
Tennessee is 1-2, 3-2 going into this weekend. They play South Carolina at home.
We'll get to it in a minute. I don't know.
At Alabama. Let me tell you how that one's going to go.
Not well.
At Kentucky.
Iffy. Yeah.
Iffy. Southern Miss at home. They ought to be okay there. At Missouri. Should be okay there.
He's going to eke out 6 or 7 wins.
LSU at home.
Good win. Just running up bad teams. Just.
Who would have ever thought LSU, Tennessee in November will be like, eh. And then they get Vanderbilt at home.
He's going to crow about 8-4. Crow.
8 wins?
Well, 7. Go through it and find less than that. It's a bunch of crappy football teams you just called out.
I guess 8 wins means they go.
Well, yeah, they're not winning all of them, but they're winning 6 or 7 games.
Eight wins means they go 5-1 down the stretch. And I don't like their chances there. 5-1.
He's gonna save his job at 6-6.
They go 5-2. Yeah, I think they go 6-6, and he's fine.
Good for Ole Miss.
I interrupted your lines. I'm sorry.
Oh no, you're fine. We'll get to that one in a second. I don't have it in front of me. Ole Miss at Auburn, 11:00 again, Jordan Hare Stadium. It is 21 on this one.
I've pissed a lot of people off. We're locking it in on that in case it goes up. I'm laying them. I saw nothing at all Saturday to indicate to me that Ole Miss is prepared to stay within 3 touchdowns of Auburn.
The little predicted score thing that's been sort of accurate on most games on Odd Shark.
Yeah.
42-17 is the game that they envision.
God, I feel like I'm being a jerk. I see 42. I don't see 17. Where are the points coming from? Since the second quarter of the Cal game, they've been inept on offense.
6 points. Not 3 points.
I feel like I'm being a jerk, and I swear to you, I'm not trying to be one. I just don't see 17 points. I can't decide
Mercer scored 14 or 17. That's what you mean in your head. You go, hey, I mean, Jesus, they're not.
Well, I understand
completely
that.
Completely inept.
I understand that.
36-15 was the Georgia Vanderbilt predicted score.
Okay, I can see that. All right.
Just a computer program.
No, it's been pretty good.
ULM 7.5 against Texas State, given points, by the way.
I think ULM's won a couple in a row. Beat Coastal Carolina.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure.
Take your word for it.
ULM, I'm pulling them up real quick. No one cares, but I'm curious now.
Okay, I'm really confused here. And I'm
ULM's 2-2. They beat Coastal 51-43.
I would never have expected this, and now I'm a little freaked out, Neil.
Okay.
We locked this in yesterday. We locked in.
Well, we can unlock it.
We locked in Florida -5 against LSU in Gainesville.
Yeah, it's in Gainesville because this is the hurricane thingy. Yeah.
It's going down to -4.
Well, we
Florida minus four against LSU.
One of our customers, one of our advertisers, I should say, is Community Mortgage, and they have the float down option, and we have the ability, because of our relationship with Community, to float down. So we can go ahead and lock in four for right now.
Well, are we locking it in, or are we just going to continue to let it float?
We can float, but we can lock it in when it goes lower and then float more. It's my damn picks. I'll do what I want. So right now we're locked in at four. Why's the money going on LSU?
Guess the predicted score.
Oh, boy. I'll say the predicted score is 24-17 Gators.
32-18 Tigers.
What?
Reading from Odd Shark, Louisiana State will win and cover the spread.
I'm going to tell you, you football people are mind-boggling. I don't – how? Dude, they couldn't do anything against Troy.
Money line, you got to bet 234 on Florida to win 100. If you bet 100 on LSU, you win 206. Don't know.
That's bizarre.
Screwing your head a little bit now, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I'm trying to wrap my head around it, yeah.
Sneaky, potentially good game in the Big 12. TCU minus 13 against West Virginia this weekend. Here's an interesting one. Miami rolls over Duke last week, playing well under Mark Richt.
Yeah.
Florida State minus one against Miami with no quarterback. Hadn't been able to score. Favored against the Hurricanes.
Well, they got athletes everywhere.
They do. Miami does too.
Yeah.
Just a look there. All right, Arkansas.
Turns out Mark Richt's a good coach. Who knew?
Arkansas at South Carolina this weekend in Columbia. Gamecocks opened at 1.5, now at 2.5. What do you think?
Take me through that one again.
South Carolina.
Yeah.
Oh, no, crap, it's completely flipped. I'm sorry. It opened at South Carolina -1.5. Now it's Arkansas -2.5. It's actually moved a lot of points.
I think Arkansas wins the game.
Just outscores them.
Better quarterback.
Like Austin Allen more than Jake Bentley?
Today.
Yeah. Debo Samuel out, obviously.
Yeah. It's difficult for me to imagine this Arkansas team's just going to go toilet. Like, I think they somehow find a way to survive. I don't know.
Dylan, Spunky SMU Mustangs have a big one in Houston this weekend. The Cougars by 6.5 against SMU. Chad Morris does score a lot of points. Hadn't played a lot of defense, but they've scored a lot of points. They beat Connecticut last week. Alabama, Texas A&M, meeting again. No Jonathan Manziel coming out of that tunnel for the Aggies. 24 was the open. Now we're at 25.5. Alabama, 25.5 at Texas A&M.
The last 2 weeks tell me to lay it. And they always destroy A&M.
When Manziel's not on that field, this game gets ugly most years. Yeah. Nick appears to have a little bit of a grudge with someone for whatever reason.
Well, he beat him once.
He did.
Don't beat Saban.
It's disrespect is what it is. God. Jesus.
I will say this the other day, the fourth down throw that everybody said, and I talked to a couple of Alabama people about this yesterday because I was curious, was that grudge? The answer to that is no. That's what he does is throw the football. It's what he does well, and they're going to let him do his thing. They're not going to burn his red shirt so that he can hand off.
So when they put him in, go ahead and run your offense.
Because this spring coming up, they're going to have a quarterback competition. And they're going to let him throw the football because that's what he does well. He throws it well.
He does.
That I don't think, and I can feel the message board post being developed as we speak. I don't think that was a sign of him hating Ole Miss so much that he wanted to run it up. Look, you and I talked about this yesterday. I think The only disappointing thing for Nick Saban on Saturday was that Hugh Freeze wasn't on the other sideline to see that. I don't think there was any – I don't think he has any vendetta against Matt Luke.
No.
So I don't think it was that. I think they were letting the kid throw because the kid is potentially their quarterback next year.
Kentucky at home this weekend against the Missouri Tigers. Kentucky minus 14 against Missouri. Kentucky barely squeaked by Eastern Michigan last week.
Yeah, they didn't play well. That was predictable. I don't know.
39-25, the predictor. It's on the number.
Yeah. Well, Vegas is good. What's your gut feeling on Ole Miss Auburn right now? You laying them?
Dude.
It's a lot of points.
I'm in my head more than I've been since we started this thing years ago.
This is your first bad year in
a
long time.
I've sucked, and I'm probably still above 500, but I've sucked the last few weeks.
Well, the last 2 weeks have been games that you think too much. Yes.
I don't just call the game and move on with my day.
I went 4-4 against the line.
I've also been too scared of lines. Instead of just going, hey, that's the better team, just they'll cover. Forget the number and just pick the better team.
But, you know, like Florida Vanderbilt, we had it until the late touchdown on the fourth down. We were there. Jim McElwain wanted us to get it because he was telling the kid, get down, get down, get down, let's run the clock out. And I was like, yes, get down.
I mean, I had, you know, the type of game was expected with Arkansas and New Mexico State, but they scored one too many times. I mean, you know, it's why it's hard. It is what it is. But
it is.
Yeah, no, hadn't been a good year, though. I guess that's it. State's off this weekend. They play BYU in Starkville next week.
A huge game for them.
BYU's not very good.
Yeah, it's one that they should and almost certainly will win, but a loss would be devastating. Because they're hoping State, I would guess, to win eight games and go to one of the eight-win tier bowl games. And to do it, boy, you better beat BYU. Otherwise, good luck. Podcast brought to you in part by Grenada Nissan. Grenada Nissan located just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. Grenada Nissan has a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast. You'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. The podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer's an American standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com. Check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast. You get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane, 662-832-8749. The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys, more than 60 years of combined experience, more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website at msbnkr.com or search for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Gambrell & Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700 or 662-281-8800 in Oxford.
Podcast also brought to you by Tyson Drugs, tysondrugs.com, the makers of Sildenafil, that cheaper, better alternative to the little blue pill. Instead of $50 or $60 per pill, it's only $10, same length of effectiveness, and you're ready in as little as 15 minutes, 662-252-2321, or go on their website. Again, fill out the form for Sildenafil. When you tell them your doctor's name, they get the prescription ready, and if you're not local, they will deliver it to your door. Again, 662-252-2321, tysondrugs.com. Did you watch any NFL yesterday?
I watched a good bit of the second half of Cowboys-Rams. The Rams are good.
I talked to Dylan about this a good bit yesterday, as he is not real sure how to handle it because in his, for sure, adult life, the Rams have completely and utterly sucked. They are, you're right, they're good.
Well, they can run the football.
Gurley's a horse.
Gurley's a stud. Jared Goff has a chance to be a pretty good NFL quarterback. Mm-hmm. They're good on both lines of scrimmage. They're good.
Got a really sure-handed guy, and the wide receiver they just brought in.
18. Yeah. He does have really good hands, and they have some weapons.
Woods has been good enough.
Yeah, they have some weapons in places. I was really impressed with Goff.
Front four is really good defensively. Aaron Donald's a star. I mean,
yeah, sure,
phenomenal.
Their coach appears to be competent at the least, and maybe really good.
And young will only get better, obviously. Yeah. They got a huge game at home against Seattle next week.
I hesitate to say this because it's going to upset a lot of our friends. Excuse me, in the Golden Triangle. When you put Prescott in third and long, he's not a weapon.
Dylan has been having this debate on Twitter for days and getting hammered by a lot of people over it. He's very, very effective in their system. He's very tough. He runs the ball well.
Yes.
He escapes pressure.
Yes.
He makes accurate, correct throws, but late in games with checkdowns and things, it appears to be an issue. They had 4th and 10 yesterday trying to drive to get the winning touchdown against St. Louis, L.A.
Yeah.
And he threw like a 6-yard pass because there's not much confidence down the field for the most part.
Yes.
And now look, I know what's going to happen. My Twitter's going to blow up and you're going to show me all the times he made a pass down the field. Yes, it's happened. I get that. But
well, you're not questioning whether he's an NFL quarterback. He clearly is. It's can he stretch a field vertically?
Yeah. Is he elite?
The answer is no, he's not an elite quarterback. He's not Aaron Rodgers.
He's a phenomenal quarterback for that team.
The other game that I watched some of was the Panthers and the Patriots.
Are we seeing the...
Okay, at the risk of it being hot takey, maybe.
The Panthers a week ago were completely dominated by my Saints, which are incredibly mediocre.
Your Saints are mediocre. Now, they played well yesterday.
Played Miami.
Yeah, but they played well.
They did. Shut out.
I hope for their sake the Zach Strief injury is not a serious one.
The problem they're in suddenly is they're in a really good division. The Falcons are good. The Bucs are okay. I mean, the Saints are 2-2 and in dead last.
But everybody else is 3-1.
Yeah.
They're a game out.
Yeah, Tampa's 2-1. They had the hurricane thing.
Because Atlanta lost to Buffalo?
Yeah. They needed Carolina to lose yesterday.
Then the other game that I watched some at my parents' house yesterday was Denver and Oakland.
Didn't see a snap.
Oakland, something happened to Carr? I don't know. He wasn't playing at the end.
Saw he walked to the locker room. I don't know what happened past that. Probably could find that easily, but I don't know.
Denver defensively is a really good club. And then I don't even know who played last night.
Back spasms for Carr.
Back spasms. They had E.J. Manuel, I think, in at the end. And he's just not going. Look, you know, when you say he's not good, he's playing in the NFL and wearing an NFL uniform and getting snaps. You have to be good. But is he an elite quarterback? No.
The Saints beat Seahawks beat the crap out of the Colts last night in the night game.
The Colts are a train wreck. Exactly. And Seattle's a good club.
Here's the world we're in right now.
Okay.
Your division leaders. It's early, 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Quarter of the season.
Quarter poll.
Buffalo. Pittsburgh. Jacksonville. Kansas City. Philadelphia. Detroit. Panthers. Rams are your division leaders at the quarterway. Out of the upstarts, which one holds the lead? Rams, Jags, Lions,
whew.
Bills.
Let's take them one at a time.
Okay. Buffalo's 3-1.
Well, Miami's not going to catch them.
Miami is 1-2.
I don't think the Jets are going to catch them, though the Jets have had some okay moments so
Miami
far.
Miami is averaging 8 points a game.
Yeah. So it comes down to what you think of New England.
New England has the best offense and the worst defense in the division. They've scored 129 points and given up 128.
Hard to win bad defense.
Got to outscore every night.
It's asking a lot.
Of a quarterback that's getting up there.
He's 40.
Yeah.
Um,
Jacksonville is 2-2. But they're in a three-way tie at 2-2 with Houston and Tennessee.
I still think Tennessee wins that division. I think they're the best team.
Not letting Houston do it quite yet?
Not yet.
Okay. Colts are awful.
I do think Jacksonville's much improved.
I can't say Bortles is winning a division right now.
No.
So I'm somewhere else.
Yeah. I think Mariota's going to win that division.
The Lions are 3-1 and ahead currently of the Packers at 3-1 as well. Vikings 2-2, Bears 1-3.
I still think the Packers are going to win that division, but now the Lions have some things going for them. They're good, and the one game they lost, they easily could have won.
They have the highest differential in the division so far. Also, they've already won two road games. They're 2-0 on the road.
That's an accomplishment.
And then lastly, the LA Rams 3-1. Seahawks are 2-2, Cardinals 2-2, 49ers 0-4, the Rams as well 2-0 on the road, 1-0 in the division already, and again a huge game against the Seahawks next weekend.
The team that I saw yesterday go to Dallas and win, if that team shows up more times than not, they've got a legit shot.
Well, look, the only team that's going to catch them is Seattle. This is whether or not we believe Seattle is going to catch them.
And they're good enough to catch them.
I don't think Arizona can catch them.
I mean, Rams and Seahawks is an interesting football game.
I'd love to have had some odds on this.
Okay.
I mean, really like to have had some odds on this. Through the 4 weeks of the NFL season, the Rams have the highest scoring offense in the NFL by double-digit points.
Well, you have to respect their run. And then the quarterback has an NFL arm.
That's not looking like such a bad pick all of a sudden.
No. You talk about this all the time. You do. I'm going to give you props. I'm going to give Dylan props. The people that want to make football so complicated. Yes, it's a complex game. There's a lot there. You have to do a lot of things. But if you can run the football effectively,
does so much other, so many other
things. It frees so many things up. And if you can't run the football effectively, your margin for error gets so thin. Because if you throw it on first down and you're incomplete, well, now you're 2nd and 10. And if teams know you're not going to run it on 2nd and 10, they start. Look what Alabama did against Ole Miss. Empty backfield, here comes the double blitz. Okay, well, 5 people being asked to block 7. My money's on the 7.
Seahawks to this point. So we make anything of this. Their wins are 12-9 against the 49ers and 46-18 over the Colts late. Lost 33-27 to the Titans in Nashville and 17-9 at Lambeau. It's a good team. Had a big injury last night. Chris Carson got hurt, broke everything in his leg.
Oh.
So they're down to maybe Thomas Rawls and Eddie Lacy, I guess, at running back.
Yeah. You know what? The more you say, the more I like the Rams.
Is that the one?
Yeah.
Like I said, good front four, good running game, capable quarterback.
And then Philly has Carson Wentz. Playing well.
Not really an upstart, though. I kind of didn't include them in our conversation.
Including them as upstart. I was just about young quarterbacks that can stretch the field vertically.
Giants 0-4.
Can't run the football.
Critical next couple weeks for the Seahawks. Just don't know why we're spending so much time on Seattle. It's loud there. At Rams.
Great
at
fans.
Giants. Home for Texans. Home for Redskins. Next four. Tricky little slate there. It's parity in the NFL. At some point, the Giants are going to win a football game. Seahawks at home.
I don't know if the Giants are going to beat a good defensive team.
Football power index for ESPN, just while we're looking at computer rankings.
Yeah.
Giving the Seahawks a 60% chance against the Rams Sunday. 60-40.
Is that computer, does it do baseball too?
I don't know. Do you want one?
Curious.
I'll look at it in a second. I'll try to find it for you.
Baseball playoffs start tomorrow. Are you interested at all?
Interested.
Yankees and
not,
Twins.
Not dying, but interested.
Yankees and Twins in the AL wild card. Winner gets the Indians. Diamondbacks and Rockies in the NL wild card. Winner gets the Dodgers. A Diamondbacks-Dodgers series is interesting.
Greinke's got to throw the wild card, which takes me out of that. I felt more whatever if he could actually throw the...
Well, Robbie Ray's good.
Looking at Greinke and Ray twice. Like,
yeah. Max Scherzer tweaks a hamstring on Saturday night. Went for an MRI. They're not committed to throwing him in game one. That gets interesting in their series against the Cubs. Cubs don't know who they're throwing either. It sounds like John Lester. I'm on record saying I'd start Kyle Hendricks in game one.
You would?
I would. But John Lester's won a whole bunch of playoff games for two different franchises, so I get it.
Oh, Lester.
Sounds like Lester.
What day does it start?
Cubs Nationals start on Friday night in Washington. Game two is at 4:38 on Saturday. So I will find a way to be in my car by then.
Trying to find a matchup predictor, but I'm not sure that I have one.
I think the Nationals beat the Cubs. I don't know that I buy that it's even that close of a series. The Nationals dominated the season series.
Does that really matter?
No, but sometimes you watch two teams play each other and you can tell that one team's clearly better than the other. Now, they played early in the year and the Cubs got a lot better in the second half than they did the first half. What the Cubs have in a postseason series is two things. One, it's a group that in the last 2 years has played 30 postseason games. It's a lot of postseason experience. And two, if they do what I think they're going to do, and that's put Hayward in center, they're going to have a lineup with a whole bunch of guys who can hurt you with the long ball.
Yeah, ESPN already has Lester listed as the pitcher for the Cubs and undecided for the Nationals.
I'm guessing at this point, Strasburg, the fact that they're undecided tells me they're a little worried about Scherzer.
Yeah, Lester versus TBA on Friday night for game one.
Hendricks will go game two. Quintana will go game three. I would guess Jake Arrieta goes
Jake
game
Arrieta
four.
Jake Arrieta is listed for game three.
So Quintana game four.
Hold on. Quintana game two.
Really? So Hendricks is game four.
The way ESPN has it, I can click on each individual game, and it is telling me that they're going Quintana, Arrieta, Hendricks.
Wow. So they're gambling that the two left-handers...
And already have Lester back in for game five.
Yeah. Well, he would go game five if he goes game one. Yeah.
So, that's where it is at the moment.
Hottest team in baseball is Cleveland.
It would be a...
It'd be a cool story if the Indians won the World Series after coming so close a year ago. I'm all in.
You almost kind of want them to win it, don't you?
I'm all in on Cleveland unless the Cubs make the World Series, and then I want them to play anyone but Cleveland.
Don't want Cleveland again?
I respect the hell out of Cleveland.
But isn't that a good thing? Like, you won it last year. If you got back, wouldn't you kind of go into the World Series against Cleveland going, I'm okay however this ends?
Yeah, I think so.
It's okay.
I think so.
I mean, if you're going to lose to somebody, you'd rather lose to Cleveland than anybody else.
Yeah, probably so.
You don't want to lose to the Yankees.
No.
You don't want to lose to the Twins.
Cleveland's not – they're hard to hate.
Yeah.
In large part because Tito Francona is such a good person, and Francisco Lindor is incredible. God, he's amazing. He's incredible. You don't watch a lot of baseball. That guy just makes plays. He's phenomenal at baseball.
Who's phenomenal at lawn care is Master Cuts, Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding area, all in North Mississippi. If you'd like skeeter beaters to take care of your mosquito issues, either way, call 662-607-7773, mastercutslawn.com. They do landscape design, installation, holiday lighting, landscape lighting, irrigation, and maintenance. Whatever you got going on, they can help you out from a turf standpoint. Again, mastercutsalon.com, and we sign an annual contract. Mention the podcast. First cut is free.
Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. Currently, Ben Brown and his team are looking to hire part-time and full-time sales team members across Texas and the Southeast to join their team. They offer extensive training, support, and the best products and pricing in the industry. Whether you are looking to supplement your current income or find a better career opportunity, email Ben at benbrown@journeybizsolutions.com. They're looking for motivated individuals with some sales experience, a business degree, or those who are close to completing their business degree who have a passion to serve small business owners. They have an exceptional uncapped commission structure and are an equal opportunity. Email Ben today. Also brought to you by Romero Miller. He is a State Farm agent, former Ole Miss star, longtime contributor to this site. Romero can write insurance throughout the states of Mississippi and Tennessee. Contact Romero at RomeroMiller.com, on Facebook at Romero Miller State Farm, or by email at Romero@RomeroMiller.com. Romero Miller State Farm, located at 7164 Hacks Cross Road, Suite 119 in Olive Branch. The phone number, 662-893-1212. We'll publish Neil's picks on Thursday. They're brought to you by Vitamin. Vitamin 3010 Old Taylor Road in front of the Faulkner Flats Apartments. It's next door to Lapel's Dry Cleaning. Still the same IVs and shots as before, but they've added the cryo sauna, the infrared sauna, combo packages. You still can get the overserved treatment, smoothie bar, all natural foods. It's 638-3600. They're open Tuesday through Sunday, IVs and shots Friday through Sunday. Call ahead. Make sure they have someone there. They're working on their schedule now. It's info@vitamin.com. And again, 662-638-3600.
Again, have a good bit of stuff over the course of the week. I'm trying to see if there's anything else going on. Miss Soccer is still a couple of days away from their next one. They play Tennessee later in the week. But the Giants, last thing here. 0-4, already out of it, can't block anybody, can't run the football. What's the shakeup there? Jerry Reese's fault more than Ben McAdoo.
It was Jerry Reese's fault. I think the question they have to ask themselves is this the time to make a change at quarterback? But they don't have a quarterback. And not that Eli's bad, but do you move Eli? Do you owe it to Eli to move him? Could Eli help a contender right now?
He could. There's some teams that...
Could you get a draft pick for that? Could you get a first-round draft pick for Eli? Could you get a second round pick? Yeah, yeah. See, I just don't know. Yeah. What are your ticket situations? You know, what do you do on that team when everybody starts getting disgruntled and it's coming?
They're not going to do it because they've already made their pick for veteran quarterback. Could he up Miami?
Yes. Although I don't know that he would be that big of a difference maker.
Yeah.
The team that he could help is a team. Let's take Oakland, for example.
And if a guy was out.
And yeah. Say Derek Carr's injury was severe.
A contender that just needs a quarterback.
Yeah. Dallas.
Oh, stop. Oh, quit.
He would help Dallas.
Just had to light one up before you get done today, didn't you?
This felt like lighting one up. It's true.
Patino selling his house in Louisville, said he's going to lay low for a little while.
Says he's going to be validated. I think that's a synonym for arrested.
Bolivia.
Is it not?
Yeah, Bolivia. OJ out of prison.
Yeah.
He's going to Naples, I think.
That's where you start. If you're going to start your search for the real killers, you go to Naples.
Yeah, I think he's going to Naples. I think he's living with the dude that NBC quoted.
So I watched this show yesterday. I came in here, this very room.
All right.
Working on 10 thoughts. It's like 11 in the morning.
Okay.
I'm curious because you've studied a lot of the OJ, or not studied, that's not the right word, but you've watched a lot of OJ stuff.
It's kind of studying, honestly.
Okay.
I've been a little obsessed with it. I become obsessed with crime. True crime is my favorite genre.
So they're showing one of these true crime shows.
All right.
And I'm not really listening at the time because you know how this is. I had it on.
Okay.
But I'm writing and I'm ranking SEC teams. And I'm like, who am I leaving out? And then I'm writing basketball. The Louis Vuitton bag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How the hell did the police let Bob Kardashian pick up that bag and leave the crime scene with that bag? His secretary, OJ's secretary, and Bob Kardashian are like, it looks at first like they're hugging, consoling one another. And then you find out, because they zoom in on his face, he's not crying.
He's intent.
He's whispering. They're coming up with a plan. Here's what I want you to do with the bag.
Yeah, Gilbert mentions this in his book that you read. He talks about this a little bit.
I guess I kind of missed that part.
Yeah.
Because I knew about the bag, but like you see the bag and it's this bulging bag. Because
like Gilbert talks about at one point, basically somebody was instructed to take evidence and just throw it away in like an airport garbage can somewhere, and it was a specific garbage can that they knew would get dumped at a certain time or something.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah.
Speculation was that Kardashian never opened the bag.
Plausible deniability.
Well, that way he wouldn't perjure himself.
I have no idea.
And he dropped it in Santa Monica Bay, which is a big bay.
It's a big bay. Speaking of true crime, for anybody that is interested, I have not actually. I don't know why I haven't turned it on yet, but I've studied a lot of this case. The Daily Journal has done a podcast series on the case of Lee Ochi, the teenager that went missing in Tupelo in 1992. People that have already gone ahead and listened to the podcast said it's extremely well done. I'm going to just haven't, but I've really researched that case a lot, so I'm kind of excited about it. So if you want something with a local angle, it's been 25 years since the disappearance of Lee Ochi, and they are doing at least 6-7 parts to that.
Have they found his body or anything?
It was a girl. It's a 13-year-old girl.
Okay.
You don't know any of this story?
No, I don't.
All right. Quick version here. For everybody, if they want to go into it, I'll give you kind of a main point. Is 1992, she was 13, I think, lived in Tupelo. Hurricane Andrew was going on at the time, so tons of rain in North Mississippi, kind of like after Katrina, just, you know, it's a lot of wind, a lot of rain, not tornadic activity or hurricane activity, but still. And her mother worked at a furniture company in Tupelo.
Okay.
School was about to start back, and they had open house that night and said since school's starting back, they were going to leave Lee at home by herself that morning. So the first time she'd really done that, and she saw around 7:30, they had breakfast together. She goes to work. Around 9, the storm's getting a little worse. She calls home. Lee doesn't answer. A few minutes later, she decides she wants to go check on her because she lives real close and just kind of got freaked out as a mother. When she gets there, the garage door is open. She knows she's closed it. Goes in. There's blood in the house, and her daughter's gone. They find a nightgown that had blood on it. Wadded up in a waste basket or a trash can. Not a lot more clues to this podcast kind of takes you through it. I've watched a Discovery series thing on this in the past and different things, but Cliff Notes version is there's not a lot else to know. And a couple weeks later, kind of the thing that's probably the most spine tingling part of this, a couple weeks later, the mother got in the mail Lee's eyeglasses in the mail a couple weeks later. But that's where they are. Again, 25 years later, there's a lot more to it, but that's kind of the main point of a thing. It's called Open the Case of Lee Ochi, L-E-I-G-H-O-C-C-H-I.
Oh, my God.
On iTunes. So Daily Journal apparently has done a really, really nice job with this.
ABC did a thing Friday night on Holly Bobo.
Yeah.
They actually, a lot of times, people make fun of TV news, and I do a lot too, but they did a really good job on it.
The most frustrating thing, I mean, I don't remember this at the time because I was only 8, 9 years old, whatever I was. The Lee Ochi thing, you know, at one point they even put a story in the newspaper. The police or the FBI or whoever it was said they had found her body and they ended up misidentifying. It was actually another missing person in the Tupelo area, and they told the family and everybody they had found her and then ended up not being her at one point. But anyway, 25 years later.
That's where the story's left off. They've not found?
She's not been found, no.
My God.
No, there's some reasons to believe there could be some progress, but no, I don't believe there's anything as far as solid proof that the case is coming.
So someone's gotten away with that crime. Mm-hmm. I started to say murder, probably a murder.
Yeah. So Anyway, okay. We will talk to you tomorrow. Again, a lot of content at rebelgrove.com. Matt Luke, Weston McGriff, Phil Longo will talk to the media today as well. So head on over, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday.